Hey, everybody. Welcome to the official Game Stitch podcast. This is episode 537. I'm producer Gerald, and today I'm joined by Ryan Walton.
Hi.
And a special guest returning to the show, old Dan Reamer.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir.
Band's back together, bitches.
Yes, sir.
I took one for the team, and I gave a real lame intro so that you could have all the lights.
All the glory.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, all the glory.
Appreciate it. And it's kind of funny, because the last time I was on is when we discovered Gerald's deception with his PS5.
Yeah.
Well, oddly enough, 3 years ago, it turns out Gerald is now a liar as well, because he told me that he asked me to be on today because he wasn't going to be able to be on because he had to go out of town and do stuff with his dad, and I never heard back. So yesterday, I was like, hey, am I still on tomorrow? And Ryan, you said, I think that's probably the best idea. Jerry goes, oh, no, fuck it. Yeah, you can be on, but I got back 2 hours ago. So
yesterday was the first time I realized I was just the talent, because I didn't even know he spoke to you.
It was in a group chat. Oh, you didn't even listen. I got that.
I don't get half the group chat. Yeah.
It wasn't. I don't think it was in our group chat. I think it was just me and you.
See,
okay, I thought it was in our group.
I was just showing up to record with somebody. I didn't even know who was going to be on. I was just, if there's no one here, I was going to do it alone.
Did you know Gerald was going out of town?
Yes. And he clearly said we need to make plans to do it before or after. And then we clearly didn't make any plans.
Yeah. It's good to know that in my absence, things don't change much.
And so, when you said, do I need to be on? I'm like, that's fantastic. That'll work out good.
Then Gerald's like, oh, I got back 2 hours ago. I'm all done.
Yeah, he's sneaky, though, so that doesn't surprise me.
Well, at this point, I planned on being on anyway. I'd already, blocked out the time and made all the plans. So I was like, I'm going to be on anyway.
Well, I appreciate you.
You can't smoke me off out of this thing now. Like, I'm here.
No, listen. Mm-hmm. Listen. Your word is the only thing a man has. Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
That's what I've heard, anyway.
It used to mean something, but...
It sounds strong, yeah.
Yeah. Now people just say it sometimes.
Yeah, we were able to come back early. They were able to sign all the paperwork and everything on Friday instead of Saturday. So that's why we were able to leave early.
And you didn't think to update Dan?
I was too busy trying to move and drive a U-Haul. And
I feel like probably actually forgot you even asked you to be on this morning.
No, I remember.
He forgot to tell me that he asked you to be on, that's for sure.
I'm just dealing with all that.
So I just sit back and collect a check, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, you guys get checks?
No, definitely not. Don't worry about that. Just enjoy your time here today.
Right.
So you haven't been on in a while.
Not since the PlayStation 5 reveal. Yeah.
PlayStation 5 reveal.
Not since the worst reveal ever.
Yeah. I think it was end of January.
I'll never let that go. I'll never let the way that he wanted that to happen go. Such a weird thing to keep from your friends, your supporters.
It wasn't a keeping. It was in obvious sight. You just weren't looking.
It was in hindsight. It was okay. Here's my thing. Here's my commentary on it. It was funny. It's great. I think it was sublime. I also feel like it was, you went through a lot of fucking work to keep your friends from knowing that you went in and bought a PS5.
Your friends who wanted you to have one. It's not even as if we were like negative about it. We were on your side.
It seems like I can only play at certain times and I have to go incognito. That's a lot of work, a lot of planning to... For a prank, I guess. I don't even know.
It's fun because we're still talking about it today.
So at least a couple times a week, me and friend of the show, Marshall 205, I'll be like, hey, did you do that yet? And he's like, I did that 6 months ago. I was just waiting for you to notice. Like, that happens all the time now with anything we talk about. He's like, I've had one behind me for 3 years and I was just waiting for you to see it.
Yeah, even in the chats, he does that too with the Lego. I got that one 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves it. He loves how ridiculous it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset. I've never been more upset on this show. Maybe back when Matt was on here, that was real anger, but I've never been more upset since it's been like us. I think we used to argue on here a long time ago.
No, like, oh yeah, we did. Long time
ago. We had
some
like verbal disputes on here. We just settled our stuff right here on the show.
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't do that so much anymore.
Nah. We've grown as people.
Yeah. So what have you played in the last 3 months?
Me? not much. Until recently, I should say. Not much until recently. Oh, I did try, what is this? Wolfong?
Wolong, whatever.
Wolong. Found out about half an hour in, and that game probably wasn't for me. cool setup. I like the idea. It's a cool time, but it leans real hard into the Souls-like, and that's not my gig, mm-hmm. so to speak. Doesn't have an easy mode or a baby mode or I'm going to hold your hand mode or, mm-hmm. you know, here's your walker. None of that. So that ended up being a pass. More Hot Wheels. Because nice. I just shit kick around Hot Wheels Unleashed. It's free.
It's a great time killer.
It is. It's just if you're like, because there's times, you know, I'm not as into gaming as I have been in the past yet. I did move my Xbox downstairs. So my son does watch me play some. He still leans pretty high on the ADHD scale. So 10, 15 minutes, he's about done. Wants to move on to the next thing. But I've actually, the most gaming I've done in the last 3 months is probably in the last 3 days. Jedi Survivor came out.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I've been leaning real heavy into that. I've probably got 6 or 8 hours in already in the last 3 days. So that's, I can tell you for me that is a lot of gaming.
Now it's getting high marks. I know you said you're a few hours. Are you enjoying it though?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great. Of course. I love the Star Wars stuff. It's the same as Survivor was, you know, it's just like any other sequel. It's got some minor upgrades and some stuff. I think it looks better. I like the character a little more in this one. Same character, but he was
aged.
He's very much grown into what you want him to be. The first one was very much like his origin story.
Mm-hmm.
So Gerald, you played it, right?
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's a little emo, a little whiny teenager, you know, angsty, all that stuff. This takes place 5 years later. He's a little more grown into his position as what he is, what he wants to do, what his decisions are. So I appreciate that. I understand. I mean, I understand why the first game did what it did with the character. I get that. That doesn't mean it was totally on board with it, but I understand why they did it. And I was able to get past it because it was a good game. It was necessary for what they want to do with the story. I like this new one. I especially enjoy the super slow baby mode that it has on it.
Cool.
So whenever you get into combat, you can set slow mode to automatically turn on. You can set your percentage of how slow you want it. I got it set at like 65%. So anytime I'm in combat, time automatically slows down. It's a game changer for me because I don't want to sit around and keep getting annihilated because I'm old and my dexterity isn't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about the most that I've played. I've tried a few different things here and there. I played a little bit more Far Cry 5 when they did that 60 frame per second update.
Do you think it's that you're getting older and you've slowed down, or you think it's because you're not playing as much, or both?
It's probably a combination of both.
Yeah, because I think you'd be just as sharp if you were playing as much as you played before.
I agree with that. I do. But it's funny. I don't know. I don't miss not playing just to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think that's life though, right? You get in a new routine. Like,
yeah.
Routines, yeah. There's like, I stay up late every night, but if I start going to bed at 10 o'clock, that's when I like to go to bed. Like, whatever. It's just that routine, like, whatever it is. If I stay up till 2 o'clock, however, that's when I like to stay up till. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So you replace playing with, you know, a family time or whatever it is you're doing during the time you normally would have played. You get in that routine and you just, that's what you like to do.
Right. Yeah.
I think the idea of not playing when I was in my 20s sounds crazy, but like, I don't know. I think if I stop playing, I don't know. It's little things. Like I think about it, like I don't really need to play as much anymore, but then I play a game. Like I just started a new game and I could quit my job and just play that thing every day. So like, I know it's still inside of me.
Yeah, I do too, but it's shifted. It also shifted from wanting to play video games or wanting to play on my console or it's to wanting to play this particular video game.
Yeah, I think the experience is definitely different. Like it takes the right experience at the right time. It's that like Animal Crossing effect. Animal Crossing isn't any different than the one they made on GameCube, really, but it hit at the right time for the world.
Right.
And I think I find games like that for me every now and then. I haven't been passionate about playing anything in a while. And for the first time in a long time, I woke up today wanting to play before the show. And I don't have time for that, but I wanted to, which is good because I haven't felt that way in quite a while. I got really, when we started playing Minecraft again, I got a little bit like that, where I just wanted to play all the time. But then we did that thing where we played too much.
Right.
Right.
Burn everybody out.
Yeah, and that's where I am with, that's how, where I am with Jedi Survivor is, you know, I want to play it. I'm waiting for my moment to be able to jump in and play it, whether it's for an hour or 2 hours or whatever. But I want to play it. I want to advance the story. I want to see what else happens. Mm-hmm. So, but I haven't been that way in about a game in a long time either. So
that's good. I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
Any other updates you want to give before we talk about our games?
Any other updates? Oh, Gerald. Ryan, you won't care. But Gerald, guess what I got yesterday? Guess what finally came?
Oh, was it the DVD you ordered? Or from?
Yes. The in the Line of Duty quadrilogy.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
From Diabolic DVD. All four movies, box set.
Is it that did it take so long because they had to make it, or is it just shipping?
Oh, it was pre-ordered. It wasn't.
Pre-order. Okay, pre-order. Okay.
It wasn't supposed to release until May 5th, but they got them a little earlier, so they started shipping them early. Mine came yesterday.
Nice.
Starring a young Michelle Yeoh and a young Donnie Yen. Cynthia Rothrock. So one of Donnie Yen's first movies was in the Line of Duty 3.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to watch John Wick 4 and see him in there?
I did not.
Oh, he was so good in it.
It is not on streaming yet.
Yeah, he was so good in that one. But it's really like, what isn't he good in?
The problem is like, okay, I've seen two. I've seen John Wick 2 and I've seen John Wick 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what, John Wick 2 and then John Wick Parabellum or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll see John Wick 4 when it comes out. Of the three movies that I'm seeing, the only one that really sticks with me is the first one.
Yeah.
Well, you know the formula, though.
Well, the thing is it's the whole I'm a sucker for a revenge flick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Crow is a revenge flick based off of, you know, love and hope and all that. And that's what the first John Wick was. I mean, you take away the man's hope, he loses his reason to live and just goes on a killing spree, annihilating everything that destroyed his hope. And then John Wick 2 is all the, now that you're back in, you have this coin and you made a deal and blah, blah, blah. And that, I care nothing about the Continental, about that lore. I don't care any about that. I care. The first one was primo because it was, you took away something that matters to me. I'm going to destroy you and everything you have ever touched.
But I think it's that. While I agree with you, I also think, like, not knowing John, the first John Wick was so unexpected.
It was.
So it not even have seen four, I can assume what that movie is. Like, I know that's a Grand Theft Auto thing, right? Like,
yeah,
three changed probably everything, but now you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it takes more to impress. But you're right. Like, to me, that was designed to be that first movie.
But I think
four
brings the background to one. I think four is the second best of John Wick.
I haven't seen it either, so I can't. I also have the memory of a goldfish, so I don't remember one, two, or three at this point.
You remember one. I know you remember one.
I know why it happens. I understand how that movie gets started, but I don't remember the deets.
You don't, and that's the beauty of the first John Wick, because you don't need to remember the deets.
Yeah.
You need to remember that he killed fucking everything.
Yeah.
Because you killed my dog that my dead wife gave me as the last remnant of hope.
But you know what? I'll tell you, I can't think of a better reason.
No. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Mm-hmm.
Steal a man's car and kill his dog.
Working again, John? This is a great, great question.
So I'm excited to see John. You know, I'm a huge Mark Dacascos fan too. But, you know, and he was awesome. But it is what it is. I mean, it didn't hold the same. They're cool action set pieces. They're great action movies.
Yeah.
But
I'm also a little biased. I'm also a little biased because Scott Adkins was in it.
Yeah, I know.
But his part was amazing.
I don't.
When you see it, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's amazing. There's just something that happens that's funny.
Listen, I like Scott Adkins. I don't carry the love, the torch for him that you do.
Yeah. He's one of my man crushes.
I like Scott Adkins. He is a great B-movie actor.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason I love Dolph Lundgren. Great B-movie actor in the 80s.
You know what you get when you watch them. All right, that's so Ryan. Ryan, what have you been playing? What's that new game you've been playing?
Dredge.
Mm.
Has anybody seen this?
No.
I haven't.
So it's a spooky fishing RPG. And Gerald, I'm gonna let you borrow this when I finish.
Okay.
Because it's for sure you'll love it too. But just
Dredge.
Maybe you can pull it up if you're going away, but just kind of show what it looks like. It'll help as I explain it. But you're a fishing vessel. You're a tiny boat, if you will, and you go out and you fish. Secrets, but the whole game is spooky. So as you move, it advances time, and you can't be out at night really, because you can't see at night really. And there's all kinds of like mysterious stuff that happens at night. So the idea is to venture out as far as you can go while keeping in mind that you've got to be at a dock before it gets too dark. And I don't even know what happens completely at night because I'm too scared to stay out.
All right, here we go.
So this is that's what the whole game looks like, basically. You're just that tiny boat.
So there's a little boat in the ocean or water.
Yep. So he's already got the net where he can drop the net and fish. And see, this is the fishing mechanic. It's just button tapping. It's really simple. There's a bunch of accessibility options if that's hard for you. And then you just come back to town and sell your catches, and then you upgrade your boat. That's where the RPG stuff comes in. When you start, you have like one fishing pole. You can only catch smaller stuff, and then you constantly have to grind to upgrade new stuff so that you can buy new stuff in the store so that you can research new things. But it's all just because of the time thing. It's so spooky. Like when you're watching time while you're out and you're like, I want to get that next fish. Like, I just need to get to that next fish, but you're also scared to keep going because it's 7 o'clock. and you know you've got a 2-hour ride back to base. And you get different engine upgrades. You know, time advances at the same pace no matter how fast you go. So you get different upgrades that allow you to move faster so you can get further in the same amount of time. There are other docks. You don't have to go back to the same one. But it's just really...
So you can discover new docks?
Yeah. Yeah. So as you go out, you're given a map from the very beginning, but you really don't know what they are other than islands.
Okay. And so as you go to an island, you discover what's on it or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe there's a dock. Maybe there's not. Maybe there's just a mission out there. There's always new fish. You also have to like dredge for supplies in order to unlock new research items and new upgrades. And then you have to buy them from the store. You buy them by fishing and selling the fish. Or dredging up like shipwreckage materials, things you can sell. So it's this weird like resource gathering, management, time management, because you have to fish and also explore. So they have things like that troll net you can drop so that you're fishing while you're out exploring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also have like crab pots that you can drop so that they're collecting crabs while you're out exploring. But then there's some days where you're just low on money. You just have to go fish. Because I just need to fill up the hole and take it all back and sell it so I can afford the next upgrade. So it's really like a balancing thing. And the days go so quick. Like a full day is probably, I don't know, 2 minutes. So you're exploring out 2 minutes at a time or 5 minutes at a time or whatever it is.
Hmm.
You always need to be back at a dock. Now, I've stayed out really late, but the later it gets, the more spooky shit that happens and also the more tired you get. And so when you get tired...
You start hallucinating
more. The screen gets blurry. It's hard to see. And so you're managing so many different things at once, but it's all tied around such a simple game. Like there's nothing more complicated than hitting square. Like that's the whole game is you just hit square whenever you fish, whenever you dredge, all of it. And it's really, really good though. It's something when a bunch of people were talking about it on different websites I read and shows I listen to and... like I don't know if this will the RPG thing scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a RPG, but the algorithms got me. So you know everything's always listening. I think I talked about Dredge. I know I'd read about it, all that. So then I got an ad, pop up ad for it on Amazon. I clicked on the ad, and I let the robots win, and I bought it. And the deluxe version I think was $29. It came with the DLC and a bunch of other like art book and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on PS5. I think it's for everything, though.
Yeah, so it looks like Steam, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I think it's for everything.
PlayStation 4's got it. Xbox. Yep, Xbox got it, too.
It's not a... it says you can turn reflections off so it runs even smoother, but there's not much to the game. So I can't imagine it has any issues. Now, on PS5, at least I will say, there are no load screens, so the whole ocean is loaded at once. You can just go... It's so cool. Like I just started last night was the first time I ventured out to like new areas and I got to that creepy volcanic area they were showing there and it's so different. Like the environment feels so different immediately. And it's all tied around this lighthouse that you can kind of see from anywhere. That's how you get home is you go back to this lighthouse. But you have to buy different fishing poles to catch different fish. And then you only have so much space on your boat. So you have to decide, like, what pole am I bringing with me?
Mm.
Because I can only catch these kind of fish. So if I'm going to take this pole here that lets me fish for volcanic fish, I got to remember I can't catch anything along the way. I still have to be able to get home and sell it for maximum money because the longer you keep it on your boat, the less it's worth. So it's just a lot to keep up with, but it's so simple.
Hmm.
And I think... I haven't looked at the trophies yet, but just initially, as long as I don't have to play this game like 15 times, I think I'm going to try to platinum it.
Oh, nice.
As long as I don't have to play it a bunch. There's no difficulty option. Like I said, there's accessibility stuff, but I mean, so far the game seems super simple. No cutscenes. Everything is like, well, there are just text pops up. You just read it.
There text are no pops up, but then art. Picture
yeah,
or something.
Exactly. There's no spoken word. There are some sound effects. Nothing really moves. It's all really simple. That thing that they showed in that video right there where there's like movement and you walk in and sold that octopus, that's not how it looks. So you literally just click on the fishmonger and it's just tell him hold on to a fish and you click sell all my fish. But it's, I really, really like it. And I'm really pretty addicted to wanting to play it right now. I don't know that I care about the story, but I want to discover all the new islands and new fish. And they give you that encyclopedia where you can see what fish you have caught, and there's different mutations of all the fish, and they're lit up different. So, you know, hey, I really need to stop at that spot, even though I'm on my way to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
The game's really good at distracting you from your task. But I really like it. So I'm going to try to platinum it. Then I'm going to let Gerald borrow it so that Gerald can talk to me about it. Because if not, I'm not going to know anyone that plays it.
Friend of the show, Marshall 205, is not going to play it.
It's single player only. You know, he really don't do single player that much.
Yeah. Sorry, what about now Hogwarts? Are you guys giving up on Hogwarts?
He beat Hogwarts. He was going for the platinum, but I think he might have got discouraged because there's so much to do. Now, that's what I was trying to decide, because I had Dredge for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I wonder if I'm going to kill Hogwarts if I put it in. And the answer is probably for right now, yes.
Yes. You don't think you go back to Hogwarts?
Maybe. It depends how long it takes me to beat Dredge. But if I'm gone too long and something else comes out, I'd say it's probably over.
Gerald, are you going to be playing Hogwarts?
No.
Me either.
I loved Hogwarts, and I think my money's worth out of it.
I think Harry Potter's kind of past us, right? I would guess, Gerald, you and I were a little older when...
Mm-hmm.
It's
the same thing for friend of the show, Marshall 205. He just watched them like 8 years ago for the first time and fell in love with them like as an adult.
Hmm. I tried. And
same. My wife was like, let's watch it. So I watched the first one with her and just was done. Like, okay, you can watch the rest of them. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. That game is excellent. I think I have like 30 hours in it, but that's a lot for me. I mean, that's like beating the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only like halfway, like 50% or 46% or something like that. So I could try to mainline it. I didn't want to force that game. And up until this point, I've had a good time jumping on each night and running one quest and progressing it. But now if I have 10 minutes to play, I'm probably going to jump in Dredge because I can do a couple days.
Right.
But I mean, I wouldn't say that there's no chance I'll go back. I just, you know, right now, that's not where I want to spend my time. Yeah, it's good. Cool. Joe, played anything?
Just Horizon. Yeah, so I got a couple days of Horizon because, you know, I left Wednesday, so I got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I did open up way more of the map. I discovered San Francisco. So that cleared up. So I only have like maybe 10% of the map I haven't uncovered yet.
How many hours do you have?
I'm probably around the 90 hours range now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
It is.
Is that much bigger than the first game?
Oh, yeah, way. I mean, it's probably three times the size of it, it feels like.
Because I really like that world, but that's too much.
And see, I'm the idiot that, like, will ride my little thing everywhere instead of...
Fast traveling.
Because mm-hmm. I want to be able to kill machines and get stuff. So, like, to upgrade your armor, you have to kill certain machines. So, like, I'll look to see if a machine's on the path that I want to kill, or just like, hey, I just want to get more coins and be able to buy certain things.
That's why this Dredge game is going to work out good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're just going to be out fishing all the time and just stacking your money up and not even playing the game at all. Joe will be like, I don't know, I'm on like the second quest, but I have $30,000.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I finally started getting legendary equipment, so I'm trying to upgrade all the legendary equipment. Also, even though I don't really need to, I'm just doing it.
Is the platinum still a thing?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah.
I have to see.
Yeah. Why not, huh? Platinum everything else.
No, not really. It says I got 50% of the trophies. I've earned 46 of the 80 available.
Whew.
Jesus Christ, you're not even close and you're 90 hours in? Yes, this is why I don't do fucking platinums.
Yeah.
So if I truly love a game or if it's close when I finish, this is the only two times. I don't care any other time. I can't stress myself out over it.
Yeah, or if it's one of those easy ones where I can just spend a couple hours and I'll knock it out.
And if it ever has difficulty trophies, out of spite, I'm probably not capable, but just out of spite, I won't platinum it.
Yeah, I think I needed like two trophies in order to platinum the first Spider-Man, and I was like, nah.
Yeah. I didn't platinum that one, but I did Miles Morales.
And there are ones I could have gotten. I think one was something about suits, wearing all the suits or something.
Yeah, there's one in Collect All the Suits.
I think the trials is what got me. You have to do those trials.
Yeah, I don't ever like time trials. Yeah. I don't ever like trials, so.
I don't either. I don't like to be tested.
Right.
I don't want to prove my worth because it's not, because I can't. So I don't want to like having to try.
I'm perfectly content in my own sense of self-worth, so I don't need some fucking console to tell me what it is.
So, you know, with like Dredge has accessibility options for like the tapping and stuff. If at any point it gets too hard for me, I will turn it on and I will never go back.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, right now, it, to me, it is accessible and I'm having fun with it. But if it gets to a point where it's too hard for me, I'm not going to ruin this game over it.
It's like when I started up Survivor, I didn't start with the slow mode on. It's like, I'll try it without it off and see and play on, you know, whatever it is, Jedi Padawan or whatever, the easy story mode.
Yeah.
And I got in, I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
So I moved down to slow mode. Now it goes into, slows down time every time I go into combat. I'm like, this is perfect. Made the adjustments to how I wanted a very, very, very minor challenge.
That's might be my issue with Horizon because I don't have it on the easiest mode. I have it like.
What are you proving though? Why? Why not?
I don't know. I'm just playing it as it comes.
You're still trying to be your 17-year-old self where it mattered.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Because I could tell some of the like the battles I'm battling with machines are taking longer than it should.
Yeah. Drop that bitch on story mode and won't take any time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you'll feel like now I do. Here's the problem I have. Friend of the show, Marshall 205. We were both playing Hogwarts on bitch mode.
Mm-hmm.
But he constantly bragged about how good he was at the game.
Right.
You can't do both.
No, you can't.
You can play on story mode. I have no problem.
If you're going to play on baby mode, you have to recognize that you're playing on baby mode.
That's fair, right? That's a fair expectation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. As a grown ass man, you can't walk onto the playground and talk about how good you are at kickball.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He's playing with toddlers.
I can swing higher than all of you 7-year olds.
I'm dominating these toddlers. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, and so that's the thing is I'm open. If you're out there listening, you can play on the babyest mode that exists. But maybe if you are on that mode, you don't brag to your friends.
No, I have no problem with somebody playing on baby mode. Right. But I have a problem with is someone not recognizing that they're playing on baby mode.
He might deny
this. Awareness, man. Have some self-awareness.
But he's not here. But every time we got on, he'd be like, I am destroying everybody. Nobody can keep up. Like, I'm the best at this combat. Like, let's relax a little bit because you do have it on story mode, which is like minimal combat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm also a god at this game, just so you know. Right. It's designed that way on this mode.
Right.
It's the whole point of this mode.
Yeah. So, but it is good for confidence. I get it. You just got to keep it to yourself, though. But it is. You do feel like you're wrecking face in that game on toddler mode. And I'll never switch it. He switched it after we had this conversation to show that he was still amazing. But I think he put it back because it was hard.
It turned out, I'm not amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
What was that? You got a notification?
Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening.
On my watch.
Oh, I was loud for a watch.
No, it's use it. Right, here's my arm.
What is it? A Fitbit? A Gear? Samsung Gear?
Galaxy.
Galaxy, what do they call it? Yeah. Gear is what they used to call shit.
Yeah. Oh, Gear is the, Gear is just the exercise one.
Oh, really?
Galaxy Watch is the actual watch.
Like an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Fitbit, Google bought Fitbit now, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I assume that, the Pixel Watch or whatever they call theirs is just a Fitbit now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I can't keep up with the times.
My son starts crying. I don't know if he can hear him.
He's upset.
I haven't gotten a notification, so apparently he didn't hurt himself. That's good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think he's upset about, if you were guessing from here?
It could be any number of things at this point. Time is it? 10 o'clock? Could be any number of things.
Yeah. What time does he usually get up?
6:30.
So he's been up for a while now.
No, he slept until 7:30 today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, does he do breakfast like pretty quickly after waking up, or?
Like, he grazes throughout the day. He doesn't. Yep. We don't do three meals.
I don't know. I mean, some people. I mean, I don't want to assume anything.
Some people would listen. I see some of these younger parents are like, no, stop that, don't do that. And at my age, that's a good thing about having a kid at my age. Just like, you know what? There are very few battles that actually need to be fought that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the open feeding is not one of them.
You know, and it's like, sit in your chair and eat your meal that I make for you at this time is not one of them.
Yeah.
You know what else
yeah.
is another one? He goes to bed at 8:30. Put him in a room. Sometimes we lay down with him to get him to go to sleep. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't. Put him in his room. If I'm laying in the, you know, if I'm like, because he's got a bed now. If I'm laying in his bed with him, he's talking, he's playing with. He'll get up. He'll play with a toy. I'm not like get into bed. I'm like have at it, kid. Have a ball.
Yeah.
Play with your toys in the dark. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
This is not a. You are not hurt. You are not doing anything to hurt anybody.
Now, does he have a TV or anything in his room?
No.
Yeah, so if he's just going to get up and use his imagination, that'll be all
just
right.
He's got a nightlight.
Yeah.
You know?
So if he's doing a nighttime battle or whatever, that's fine.
So, or he's like, you know, lining up his cars or laying on the floor and playing with his monster truck or.
Yeah.
What is the only thing you are doing that I have any reason to be mad at is I want you to go to bed now. That's my personal wish, is that you would go to bed now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you don't. Why would I yell at you because you're not doing exactly what I want you to do at the exact moment?
Now, what about when school is a thing and you're tired for school the next morning?
What's that?
What about when school is a thing and you're tired for school the next day? Do you think you would tighten up then?
We'll see what happens when we get to that point. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think that's where – I think my parents were just like you were. Like, they wanted me to go to bed at a time, but if I didn't, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that did tighten up a little bit when I got into school. Not in that they were like, get in bed, stay in bed, but they – I would say they encourage me a little more.
Yeah, strongly. I would probably encourage it more, but I also know that when I was that age, I went into my room and if I was in my room, my parents pretty much left it at that. I wasn't being rambunctious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like turn on a flashlight and look at a comic book or read a book or something like that. So I fell asleep or was like, okay, I'm tired now. I'm going to go to bed now.
In high school, I was garbage. I would stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and then go to school the next morning. And
oh, yeah, but you can do that. You can do that when you're in high school.
So tired. So tired.
I used to do that too, but it was fine.
Yeah. That's why I don't know how you look at any like teenager and you're like, you know, go to bed. Like, yeah, right.
Right.
I mean, I was a straight psycho in there playing with the volume off so they didn't know I was awake because it was 3 a.m. and I had to be up in 2 hours.
Yep, I know. So,
yeah,
that's
mm-hmm.
Now, when he gets to the age where video games are a thing, like mm-hmm. really a thing, do you think mm-hmm. that'll pull you back in more?
Yeah, well, it's funny. My wife and I were talking. I was actually going to tell you guys, I'm getting ready to trade in my PS4.
Uh-huh.
But my wife and I were talking. I'm like, because it's in the office. We're kind of cleaning up the office and, you know, decluttering some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been selling some different stuff, and I was like, "What about the PS?" I said, "The PS4. Should I hold on to it for when he's, you know, once he wants to play games or something for him to play?" And she goes, "There's no reason to hold on to it because once he's old enough to play, he's going to want whatever's newest, and so are you. So that's just going to take up space." And I'm like, "You are pretty smart. You are absolutely correct. That is how that will go."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting ready to trade that in. So, yeah. Answer your question, I suppose.
Do you think, you know, with my dad always played games when he was younger, and I don't really, you know, obviously I don't know my dad before me, but I don't think he was playing that much when I came along, but he definitely played a lot more to play with me, and he watched me play, which I think would then make him want to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like he would play after I went to bed, even like he would keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not a story game, but if it's something where he could play like on his own, he would keep playing when I would go to
bed. Something he was interested in. Yeah. That makes sense.
My camera froze up for y'all. Do I have the sleepy face?
Yeah, you do.
Hell yeah.
My dad, I think I've said before, my dad used to buy us games, but he buy games that he wanted to play for when he buys games for Christmas.
That's a gangster move. And my dad would, he would half and half. He would buy stuff that he wanted to play that he thought I might like, and then he would buy things I truly wanted. But I will admit that as a child, I didn't have very good taste. I just was a subject to whatever my friends wanted to play.
My dad always thought I was an idiot for wanting to play games because my dad was an old school macho guy. So
yeah.
So I had to have a little talk with him last time I saw him, as a matter of fact.
No, my dad still plays. He plays, but he only plays World of Warcraft.
Have you ever thought about getting into WoW so you could play with him?
No.
That was a really quick answer.
Yeah.
That's nice. Me, yeah.
I tried.
Yeah, like, I'm glad he enjoys it, but I'm not going to be doing that.
I tried. Yeah, my brother tried to get me to play it.
I got to have with my dad, okay? I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but don't try to use logic on your parents. They get pissed. So I have we have some nephews who watch YouTube, watch people play video games on YouTube or whatever. So me and my last time I was down there, me and my family were all sitting, we were all sitting around, you know, just shooting this shit, and they were talking about it. And my dad, my uncle's like, what a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me get this straight. I just want to understand something here. So what you're telling me is you think it's stupid for someone to sit around and watch someone perform a hobby that they enjoy because the person that they're watching is better at it than they are. They were all in agree, yeah, that's dumb. I'm like, cool, stop watching football. And they just looked at me. I mean, you can no longer watch any sports because what you're describing, you don't like these people doing, is exactly what you do with every sport that you watch on TV or go to watch somebody. Well, that's different. It's not different. It's the same damn thing. It's just something you don't understand. So if someone wants to go watch a blacksmithing competition,
sign me up.
You don't understand that. You think it's stupid. That's the same thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever fair to decide what's entertaining or what is a good use of someone's time.
Exactly.
Because
it especially pisses me off when people don't recognize, even when it's my family, when they don't recognize it's the same fucking thing, just about something different.
Yeah.
And then they try to tell you, but that's different. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I just explained to you how it's the same thing.
Yeah, if you like watching somebody make cabinets, and I don't, that's absolutely fine because I like watching, insert topic here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm very positive that one isn't better than the other.
Right.
Because people are always like, because I watch people build stuff on YouTube all the time, and they're like, isn't that boring? I'm like, if it was boring, why would I do it?
Right.
Is it boring to you? Probably. That's also fair. It could be boring to you and entertaining to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like baseball.
Right.
So when you spend 12 hours watching baseball, I don't give you shit for that.
Right.
Because I don't care. The whole reason other things exist is because not everyone's into the same thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so funny because it's, you know, my parents, boomers. They're like, oh, it's you know, that's what's wrong with the world today. No, it's the same thing you were doing when you were listening to baseball on the radio because TV wasn't invented yet.
Right.
Same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Recognize it. Have some self-awareness. That's the thing that pisses me off the most about humanity, and it's why I want the robots to win, is the lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
It bothers me to no end. And the problem is because it bothers me so much, I can't not notice it, and I can't pick out the flaw when someone's saying that. Then I'm like, oh, do I want to have this conversation, or should I just keep my mouth shut because it's going to turn into a big thing because I know this person, and I know they're an idiot, and I'm not.
Typically, the people who say, like, this is a waste of your time are either they're not self-aware or they've never found the thing that they love.
Right. I've never found someone who doesn't have a thing that they love.
Yeah. Well, I know a couple people. It seems like hating everything is the thing that they are passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who are like that.
And I can't imagine what that must be like every day. To just want to bring everybody down a notch.
It's like, you know, people can't stand up the evolution of something either.
Yeah.
That, you know, the prime example right now is Star Wars fans. This is the Star Wars I had when I was a kid. Okay, well, you're not a kid anymore, for that's, one.
That's correct.
For two, also. Star Wars has evolved. It's been 40 years.
Yeah.
So there's evolution. There's new things that happen and change. You can not agree with a certain aspect. You don't have to destroy the whole for somebody else because you don't like something.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing I always go back to is the Jar Jar Binks things. Everybody hated Jar Jar Binks. All the adults who were Star Wars fans hated Jar Jar Binks, the most annoying character ever. Imagine being a grown-up and going to the theater in 1977 with your kid, taking them to watch Star Wars, and having to listen to R2-D2 and C-3PO. Imagine you're a 30-year-old man who knows nothing about what you're getting into except for your kid wants to see it.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to C-3PO and R2-D2 for 2 hours. That's Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have Star Wars I like better than other Star Wars. I love all Star Wars.
Right. I work with a guy who basically says there's no Star Wars exists after episode 4, 5, and 6. Nothing.
Yeah, that's wrong.
They say he would be incorrect.
Yeah. He said, I don't count any of the other stuff. There's literally
video documentation.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, so Sony, you go back to when PlayStation was like the PS1. Mm-hmm. The Sony you have today is not the Sony I had back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that that's for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nintendo that I had back then is pretty much the Nintendo I had now. Like, Nintendo is very much Disney. Like, they're generational.
Right.
Right? They roll out a new Mario game, and as a parent, you want your kid to play Mario because you played Mario.
Right.
So you get it, and Odyssey is his Super Mario 3, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And that's also okay. Those are two companies that are doing it completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, Nintendo is very generational. They're not ever going to blow your balls off because they do the same thing for a new set of kids.
Well, I would also wager that, okay, to go back to what you're saying about the PlayStation. When the first PlayStation 1 came out, the Sony PlayStation came out, you were a kid.
Yeah.
PlayStation 5 came out, and like you said, arguably, probably not arguably, but we will for... We'll just say arguably, the PlayStation 5 is better than the PlayStation in the first PlayStation. You know, it has evolved, like you said, technology, all that. I would still wager that when you first plugged up that PS5 and turned it on, it did not hit quite as hard as it did when you were a kid and turned on the first PlayStation.
Probably not. I mean, I'm fully erect for sure, but probably not.
It still hit different, though.
Yeah. But Sony's a company that you can look back to and see how they have evolved,
mm-hmm.
which is okay. Mm-hmm. It's not my Sony from when I was a kid. But you know what? I kind of really like what they are now better. It may not hit as hard, but I like what they do now better. That single-player, mm-hmm. third-person storytelling, Sony is my Sony.
Yeah.
It's not the Sony from my youth. However, right. Nintendo seems to somehow still be the Nintendo from my youth, which I can also appreciate. They can be two different things.
Right.
But I can't stand that like what Gerald was talking about with the there's no Star Wars after that. Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, I'm not mm-hmm. for that either.
Yeah. Yeah. You can not like them. That's absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't treat them as if they don't exist or if there's not an audience for them, because if there wasn't, they wouldn't exist.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. Someone likes them. And like you said, episode 1, 2, and 3. You're starting to hear people now come around and say mm-hmm. like they're pretty good actually, because that's their Star Wars.
Right.
They went to the theater with their parents and they got to see that, and it didn't
hit
for you. Of
course, now they're shitting on 7, 8, and 9, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't hit for you, but it hit for the kid. The kid did like right. Jar Jar. He did go home and do the Jar Jar voice. So yeah, just basically stop being a prick.
Yeah.
It's about okay to everything. Like different things.
You know, there's things I don't like, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I like, as an example, you know, baseball is probably one of my least favorite sports. to play, to watch, to be involved in. But I also know that if Quentin ends up loving baseball, I'll be right there with him every step of the way, and I'll go to every game and we'll watch it on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You might start to like baseball.
And I might start to like baseball. You're right.
And that's okay.
Yep.
I liked it when I was a kid. I watched, I played. Somewhere along the line, after I got out on my own, when I grew up, I grew up in a small town. I was very influenced by the people around me. I was very influenced by this small town, and sports was like the only thing that mattered in that town to my most of my family. Most of them still are, you know, my dad has ESPN on 24/7, one of them. That's like all he watches.
Yeah.
So because of the influence around me, I liked that stuff. I still found other stuff that I liked. I was able to discover that, but I had to search for it in a certain sense. Then once I got out of my own and I moved away and went out and into the world, I started discovering some of the different things that I was discovering other things and enjoying other things. And really, the sports almost kind of went away. Like, I don't hardly watch any sports anymore at all. I don't follow them. Soccer is about the only one I do.
Yeah.
All of like those are way, way back to what I'm interested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to baseball for putting in a pitch clock, though. Finally, like
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest thing that they could have done to help bring. I know people who love baseball, but they still don't have time to watch that many games at that length.
Right.
4 hours. What do games take? Four and a half hours now?
73 and a half hours for a game to be played.
I know.
It's helping, and I have personally watched more, like, I think at least me as a non-baseball fan, I wasn't expecting like the meta to come out of this pitch clock. Like, people are like using the pitch clock as like another tool, you know, that they'll wait the clock all the way down and the next time they'll throw immediately. Like, it's also playing with it, like, players' minds, because they're trying to figure out like
how to beat it.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, this guy, like 15 seconds in, this is where he's at. Well, now he just broke that, so I can't, like, everything I thought I knew about when he was going to throw it. It's just so much different, and the momentum, I feel like momentum is a big part of life, but also sports, in that sometimes if you take 30 minutes to throw your next pitch, you've killed the momentum, which was on purpose. Whereas, like, something like a pitch clock forces that momentum to carry through. I don't know, I'm still not going to watch, but it's a great step. You know, but you're going to have those haters, those old school baseball people who are, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, but now this is part of the game.
Again, it evolved.
Yeah. And I mean, one may not be better than the other, but yeah, it's just a little different now.
Mm-hmm.
Not my baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't exist after 2021. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
I mean, we've all seen those pictures of like a stadium with, you know, 100 people in it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, baseball has, I would say, struggled more than any other sport to continue to fill the stands. You know, your Yankees games are always going to be full, you know, stuff like that. But your Dodgers games, but you look at some of these other teams and there's six people out there watching.
Right. Yeah. A lot of them, this is these normal, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday day games at like 1 o'clock. I mean, when people are working.
Yeah. Also, you're like slowly learning that people want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the Savannah Bananas.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's like a Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. It's like silly, like they'll, in the middle of like playing, they'll do like a dance routine. It's super goofy. It's designed.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them.
They're sold out for like the next 3 years or something.
Right.
Not because the sport is pure, but because it's entertaining, because it's a show. They play baseball, but it's also fun.
Yeah.
Well, there was a time too when again, it goes with evolution. It's not just evolution of the sport. It's evolution of everything. I mean, you would say with probably say it was baseball. Since we're talking baseball, let's stick with baseball. Probably had its prime in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, I would say. But life in general was different then. Everybody worked from 9 to 5. That's the only time things were open.
Mm-hmm.
Was 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Pull us up a Savannah Banana clip.
Okay.
But again, don't you think it goes back to routine and that that's just what people did?
A part of it's routine, but part of it's like how life and escapism work together. The men went to work from 9 to 5.
P.T. Barnum
came home and their wives were at home all day and taking care of the kids or cleaning. I mean, it's the way it was back then. I'm not saying it's right. I'm stating the fact that that's how it was. So all of that, all of those lay into each other, you know, your routines of life, your escapism from those routines of life. It allowed for, you know, a 2-hour baseball game that was 7 innings mm-hmm. at the time, you know.
You see,
I just want to say that Gerald doesn't give a shit about baseball, but he's smiling.
I'm just watching this guy with a bait. He's got a baseball
bat on fire.
It's on fire.
How do you not want to watch this? Look at that. How do you not want to watch this? He's on stilts for no reason. There's a guy breakdancing.
The umpire's sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
The guy that runs through the. Look, I don't see. It's just silly. It's supposed to be fun. The guy that was running through the crowd, I don't know if you saw him. He's like the commissioner, the guy in the yellow suit right there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He's like in charge of it all. But it's something crazy I was reading. They're like legitimately sold out for like 24 months straight. And the tickets are all cheap. Like right. They're cheap. But by selling them cheap, they still make crazy money because of how sold. They're more sold out than the season tickets for the wait list to get on a Savannah Bananas game is longer than the wait list to get on season tickets for Green Bay for the Packers. And the game here doesn't matter.
Right. It's the escapism, the fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why anyone's like, it's not my baseball. It's like, good. That's fine.
It's this looks like a blast.
I hate baseball, and I would go see this. Look, people in banana suits, it's ridiculous.
Everyone's wearing yellow.
Yeah, but they still see. They just decide to start dancing.
Having a dance party.
Now they're twerking. Like, but it's supposed to be that way. They're playing baseball. That's a real pitch and a real swing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's got a cutoff shirt on.
Yeah, it's just... I think that there's a place for these kind of things, too. And I don't want baseball to go away, but I also want things like this to exist, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that, you should check them out. It's real fun.
Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
Savannah, Georgia, I'm guessing?
I don't know. They do like tours. It's like the Globetrotters.
Ah.
They play all over. But Savannah Bananas, I think, is like kind of where it started. Like there are other teams, like that guy that was dragging out the
party animals. Party animals.
Banana ball, they call it, because it's wacky.
Yeah.
Gerald, would you watch the banana ball?
Yeah, I probably would.
See? Gerald, would you go to a baseball game?
Depends on who.
Like a standard baseball game, you gonna go watch the Sounds play?
No.
And that's just in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Do they come anywhere around here? Where they go?
Arizona, Savannah, Georgia, West Virginia.
Savannah, Georgia, that's obviously where they're at home.
Yeah.
Because they got like 3 in a row, 4 in a
Kansas.
Row.
Kansas.
This is just where they are for April. Wow, is this how you have to do it? You can't just like search a town? You have to scroll month by month?
Yeah. Looks like. Vegas.
But look, they're all sold out.
Nashville, Tennessee sold out. But they're
sold out.
They'll be here in Nashville the end of May.
Damn, I'd like to go.
I'm sure you can find a ticket. Someone will sell a ticket.
StubHub, a Savannah Bananas game.
Yeah.
So here's what I will say, though. I don't support the StubHub of these because the whole idea is that they're trying to keep it cheap.
Right.
So just out of purity, I don't think that I would, because the whole idea is that he keeps ticket prices cheap on purpose.
Is that Syracuse and New York up there? Is that where they're coming? The other one.
NBT Bank Stadium. You know where that's at?
I think that's Syracuse.
Gerald, you may have to check the NBT Stadium and see what that shows.
Click on it.
It won't click.
Shout out to Gerald for going straight to New York, though.
I asked him to.
I know, but he found it.
Oh. Yeah, Syracuse.
I know adults that wouldn't have known without a little poking around. Was that one sold out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're all sold out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, so, seems like we say it every time I come on here, but love what you love. Don't hate anything. Let other people love what they love.
Even the softness of the world.
Do what now?
The softness of the world.
What about this? No, I don't think that's what anybody said. Nobody said anything about being soft.
He just wanted to call you soft.
I know what he was trying to do.
Are you on StubHub?
Let's see. Woo! Yep, look at that. $200.
$209. With the exception of maybe like four or five different clubs, I'd say you could go to any MLB game for a quarter of that price.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Also, don't buy Savannah Banana tickets anywhere from them, because it's the whole point.
Get yourself on the waiting list, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, because it's supposed to be cheap. It's supposed to be accessible. Don't do this where you're paying too much to go. Defeats the purpose.
Right.
Did you pull any news?
No, I didn't pull any news because since Dan was going to be on.
Yeah, Dan's the news. I got you.
All right.
That doesn't
happen. He's more important than the news.
Yeah. This episode is going to be The Deception of Gerald also.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to name it, The Deception of Gerald, because you misled everybody. I thought you were not going to be
about the
mad.
Second deception of Gerald.
Yeah. Did I call Gerald's second deception? Did I call the first one that?
Gerald's deception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part two.
Be part two.
Yeah.
No, what about this Gamers Club for this coming up month? You want to go over that? Let the fans know what we got.
Yes and no. So we have the game selected, but we've decided to deviate from the month by month, and now we're just going to make sure everybody gets to play their game four times.
Mm-hmm.
So you are still owed two more sessions of your game before we start the next one. So I feel like we got some time.
Okay.
It seems more fair than trying to force. Like you were out of town. You shouldn't have to miss especially one of your games.
Right.
Now, if there's a situation where somebody's out, but like in this case, you were still here, but somebody was out and we could play, like that could count. But I don't think it's fair for the person who picks their game to not at least get four play sessions of their game.
Mm-hmm.
So the calendar is going to go goodbye and we're just going to get four playthroughs. So I think this Thursday we're still planning to play Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Okay.
And the week after that, then we'll go the next week, which it is Payday 2 is the game that Marshall 205 selected.
Yeah, I've already downloaded it.
So we'll be doing some bank robbing.
Yes, he is.
But I like the idea of, on there. Go ahead, Dan.
I feel like we tried to play that once and it was a disaster.
We set the bank on fire and burned it down.
Yeah, we all died in the fire.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It was me, you, and Matt, right?
I don't know. We played it for sure, though.
I know I played with you guys because I remember once I got stuck outside somewhere and I didn't know where to freaking go.
There was four of us, though, so it probably was.
Okay, it probably was you then. You're probably the only one who lived. Because you got stuck outside and we set the bank on fire and burned it down. We couldn't figure out how to get out.
But we all talked, minus you, Gerald, about it the other night, and that we just thought that we should make sure everybody gets to play their game enough.
Okay.
So. We'll two try. More play sessions of Bridge Crew. Bridge Crew it's not that it's not fun. It suffers from some major technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
It's made it almost unplayable for us.
Besides that first night, once we got in, we were able to go.
Yeah, but we want to give every game a fair shake. The whole idea is that everybody steps out of their comfort zone and plays games that someone else wants to play. So it seems shitty to not give that proper attention.
Oh, I did want to ask you guys about something. I can't remember what it was. It was news related. I think it's
the Activision thing. Because that was current.
Yeah, yeah. But what were your thoughts on Sony's lawsuit against Xbox in the middle of buying Square Enix?
You know, Sony, I believe Sony was just, at the beginning, was just trying to slow down the inevitable. But I'll tell you, it's getting weird, right? The UK has said no.
Yeah.
This doesn't keep Microsoft from buying them, just to be clear. But Europe has said no on their end. The US, I think, is still suing Microsoft. It's complicated. But I'm sure at the end of the day, the deal will still eventually go through. Nothing that Sony ever buys will be as big as what this is because they can't afford it.
Right.
So I think they're fine. I mean, what they're arguing, oddly enough, what the Europe is saying is it has to do more with cloud streaming than it does with them owning Call of Duty, is that Microsoft would own so much of cloud sharing, which is insane because I feel like they hadn't even talked about this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Because will they own like 60% of them alone?
I think they already own like 60% of cloud gaming. And if you add Call of Duty to that, they're worried that that number will tip to a point that no one else can ever be competitive in that market. And I think Microsoft tried to do the olive branch thing and saying, well, we'll make sure we'll write a guarantee that these other places have Call of Duty and these other games on their streaming service. And the problem is that they don't have enough users as it is to tip the scale.
Right.
Even if they let them use it, it doesn't matter because no one's using anything other than, you know, Xbox when it comes to streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This whole thing has gone on longer than I thought, but it's costing Microsoft an awful lot of money, but also not buying them will cost them an awful lot of money.
Right.
Right.
So
I was just, my thought was about how disingenuous it is on Sony's part to
be buying
a big studio in the middle of suing someone for buying a big studio.
It's just business, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as shitty as it is, like, that's definitely like a cough, cough, wink, wink.
Right.
It hasn't been officially announced, though, that they're buying them, right?
No. It's assumed.
It hasn't been officially announced, but... Yeah.
There's Final Fantasies are no longer, no Square Enix game is currently slated for release on Xbox.
Yeah. You know, I certainly believe, and we've talked about it, that Square Enix is making itself smaller so that Sony can afford them.
Mm-hmm.
They've already, you know, but there is an argument that Square doesn't release games on Xbox because they don't have the player base for Square games, which they don't have because they don't release.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think Microsoft would care if Sony bought Square Enix. But now they will.
Right.
Now they'll
fight. That's the problem. Now Sony has opened themselves up to
correct
all the petty squabbling that they started.
But I give Sony some credit in that I never thought that they would get any traction with this. I never thought that they would slow Microsoft down. And they have, which was the whole point. But I will say it's making things complicated because they can't really announce anything right now as far as acquisitions go. They finally announced that small studio, those two studios with that weird write-up that we read last week. But
yeah,
it's tough to – you can't officially say you're buying Square right now.
No.
I'm not even sure if Sony can afford Square. I don't know what
that would cost. That's what I'm reading here. It says they can't afford it. They don't have like $5 billion to spend. And
Sony is not on the level of success that Microsoft is by any imagination.
No, not in the
total company, parent company right. money.
Right.
It's interesting. Do I think it's shitty? Yes. Do I think it's shitty business? Yes. I happen to think Activision is probably a company full of good people that's had shitty leadership, so I wouldn't mind them being part of Microsoft because they seem to have at least treat people fairly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I would have no problem with it. Also have no problem with someone else owning them, but I think people need to realize that whoever ends up owning Activision could be much worse than Microsoft.
Right.
And I think people forget that.
Well, I think if you look at big picture, too, I think people forget that they don't look at big picture. It makes no sense for Microsoft to buy Activision. Let's say they're doing it just to own the rights to Call of Duty. That's not the case, but let's say it is. It makes no sense to not let anyone else have that game. You make less money if you own it doing that than you do to just have it on your own platform. Of course they'll let Sony have it.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the news I'm seeing on here about it is that Sony's going to go after Take-Two if Microsoft gets the Activision.
No way they can afford Take-Two.
Yeah, that's what they're saying here, but they're going to try.
If they can't afford Square, they can't afford Take-Two.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want Tencent to own Activision. So, I mean, sometimes the devil you know. Like I said, right. I think Microsoft's got a decent reputation for at least treating people relatively fair. So I would like to see someone. I mean, that money's going to stay here, and it's going to. Microsoft needs a little help to stay competitive right now, and mm-hmm. people don't realize it, but they need Microsoft to stay competitive.
Mm-hmm. I agree on both counts.
Mm-hmm. A Sony without competition becomes Nintendo, and we already have a Nintendo. We don't need another one.
You are correct.
So,
and I will still go back to my argument that I don't know that Sony realizes that Sony and Microsoft aren't actually in competition, I don't think.
Yeah.
I do think Sony does something completely different than what Microsoft is doing.
I mean, Microsoft is now a subscription service. Like, that is their business model.
Right.
And Sony still sells games and consoles.
Right.
And I think both of them, I just don't think that they view, I don't think they understand how important the other one is. They both need each other.
Right.
And they should both exist. And everybody should buy both of them if you can afford it. You should also have a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Play games wherever you feel like. It's okay. If you have someone who shames you for playing somewhere, you should probably not hang out with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're fucking adults.
Tell them to kick rocks. You're a grown ass person. You can make your own decisions.
Yeah. Unless.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, here it comes.
No. I just thought about being that person, but I don't. I actually totally agree. So I would have been just gaslighting folks.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. I enjoy, but you know.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, it's been a long show already. I actually have a lot to do today too. We probably shouldn't have ran long, but it's okay.
Okay. Dan was here, so.
Yeah, it's Dan's fault.
It's okay.
Just like, we just ran back to where we were.
Huh? It's not his fault. We cater around Dan. He's a special guest.
You ever miss the show, Dan? You miss being on?
I do miss being on. It's like the yin and yang of things. Yeah, I miss being on. I also don't miss having to be on. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does.
I really, really like coming on every two or three months and chatting. Yeah. Yes. I do not want to do it every week.
Right.
Yeah. It is a time commitment. It does get in the way of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it'd be one thing if we did it on like a Thursday at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That'd be super easy for me. Sundays are tough.
And see, Thursday at 7 be super easy for Gerald, but super hard for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this being the time that works.
This week, there was only one day I got home before 7 o'clock this entire week
mm-hmm.
from work. And we're going into the busy season.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you.
Which for me, it lasts half a year. And so, you know, it would make me unavailable for half the year, basically. It is a time commitment. I think people don't realize Because it's only an hour, but it's a time commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is, and it's time accounted for that forces you to leave other time unaccounted for. You know what I mean? You know, basically, if we were to do Sunday, if I were to still be on every Sunday morning, that basically takes every weekend away from me to go somewhere or do something, you know, and it's not feasible anymore.
Right.
So, yes, I do miss being on. I don't miss having to be on.
We hear you. And we like having you on when you do show up.
Well, that's nice. I hope so.
You said that like he just doesn't show up a lot of times.
Well, he's every like 3 months.
When you finally decide to show up, we enjoy it, Dan.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I can work with that. I'm fine with it.
Oh, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Me too.
Dan, no closing argument. No closing comment.
No closing comment. No.
Okay. All right. If you'd like to support us, head us over to patreon.com/GameStitch. Follow us on our socials at @game_Stitch, at Hoffman Show. And then you can follow Dan or Ryan if you want, but they don't really follow and do much Twitter.
We do not. I know I don't anymore.
Yeah.
I never have.
I know.
That was episode 537. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.